Welcome to the Mark in the Morning podcast. Want to receive this daily? Search Mark in the Morning on iTunes, Stitcher, Audio Boom, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Each team has a foul to give as we come up on a minute remaining.
And they're putting Curry in the pick and roll, trying to get him on Irving.
Irving and Curry, one-on-one. Irving puts it up. It's good! Kyrie Irving from downtown! And the Cavaliers by three!
Summertime.
The last time the Cleveland Cavaliers had a championship, Ford had just introduced the Mustang.
Fish are
hey, you know what? I've had teams that go all the way. There, as a fan, there's nothing like your team being the best in whatever they do. So, congratulations. I didn't see, which, by the way, when you win a championship in anything, what is the need to turn over a car? I saw people in Cleveland jumping on cars, turning over cars. I've just never understood why it goes to that.
Mark, have you ever folded a shirt perfectly and just stood back and got so excited you flipped a car?
I haven't.
Okay, so you wouldn't understand us car flipping people.
Okay, so you defend the flipping of cars.
I just know sometimes you get so excited you gotta flip something.
Well, today, welcome to it. It is the longest day of the year. It is also the first day of summer, and it is so freaking hot. Mm-hmm. Get this, 123 degrees in Palm Springs. Now, we broadcast there, so if you guys want to call up and share what 123 feels like, 888-696-1003. A major auction taking place of a lot of rock memorabilia, none bigger than one of Prince's guitars.
Ooh.
Made for him. What purchase changed your life? I clearly have an answer for that. Two NFL teams that right now.
Was it pants?
It is not.
Okay.
I'll give you a hint. He's asleep.
Oh, baby boy. Sorry, you were saying.
Two NFL teams that are favored to lose every single game. What teams are they? My Father's Day card from Matthew. 5 seconds for
30.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Mark, who's talking about it?
Everybody. Okay. Everybody's talking about it. Summertime. We talk with a chief meteorologist today about the heat that we're currently experiencing. Now, we are going to kick off summer in a special way. It is not officially summer until we have taken the weed whacker that we bought from Andy and chopped up some fruit and vegetables with it. That will make it summer. Plus, today and every day, Chick on the Street is out and about. We're going to go to the major fast food outlets. She is going to purchase their breakfast sandwich and time them. How long does it take to get that? It's Cott's Chick on the Street's fastest food. And it all comes your way today on Mark in the Morning. Finding Dory swam to the top of the box office in a record-setting debut. The Pixar flick earned $136.2 million between Friday and Sunday, giving it the best opening weekend for an animated movie in history.
Damn.
It's the king. Nothing even close. Gina.
Yeah.
Ask me what I did for Father's Day.
What'd you do for Father's Day?
I went to Walmart to buy really cheap air conditioner filters. Our air conditioner guy told us that the cheaper, the better. Huh. Now, you have to replace them quicker.
Yeah.
But he said the really expensive ones don't allow your unit to work at its full capacity because it constricts the air. So the idea is to have the air flow through the filter quicker.
Interesting.
So cheaper, the better. And he said the cheapest I've seen is at Walmart. So we went to Walmart and we bought air conditioner filters.
Huh.
Then I went and had the greatest hamburger in the history of the world. Our French fries at Five Guys was purchased from Fall Root, Indiana. Yeah.
You remember.
Fall Root.
Yeah.
And then we sat here in the backyard and watched golf.
That sounds like a rip-roaring good time.
It was fun stuff.
So you didn't go see Central Intelligence?
No, okay. No, because the kids are going to be here for the 4th, and they heard that we were going to go, and they shut it down.
Oh.
They said, no, we will be going with you.
Got it. Okay,
to
cool.
see Central Intelligence.
So you had a nice, relaxing dad-style day, even if you didn't have your kids there.
I did.
That's
good. I had a fun, super fun time.
That's great.
And in the middle of the biggest heat wave, Mikey's air conditioner goes out.
Yep.
Did you sleep in that heat?
Yeah, well, it was cool when we went to bed and I woke up and it was 80 degrees in the house, so it must have shut off at some point in the middle of the night. And so I've got my AC guy on alert. He's going to call me at any moment.
You got to take that call no matter what we're doing.
Yeah, oh yeah, totally.
All right, yeah, so as soon as that call comes in, I got a few things I want to run by him.
Okay. It's probably just going to be an operator, but we'll run it by
him. Oh, it'll be so good.
All right, now, as I said, today in Palm Springs, 123 degrees. Oh. We have Matt, Mike, and Ryan calling in. Good morning, gentlemen.
Okay.
Hello.
So, Matt, you live in Palm Springs?
I do.
Dude, 123 today. Why do you live there?
Well, actually, I work there. I live about 40 miles west up in Yucaipa. But I work for the state down here in a psych ward. But we have to take these guys out to smoke, and these guys are like wearing jackets, and it's crazy. I mean, we have to stay out in the sun. It's nuts. I wish I could tell you all the things I do, but with HIPAA and all that kind of stuff, I can't really go there.
I'm gonna need to speak with you privately. I have so many questions.
Now, imagine if you are in construction in Palm Springs.
No. Yeah, I used to be a stonemason before I went back to school. And, man, I tell you, I don't envy those guys at all.
All right,
but
now,
Mark,
Mike.
Man, I tell you, we love you down here, man. Thank you so much for coming back.
Dude, we're trying to work out a
forever.
Weekend where we can come and have, like, a fun thing. So, Mike, you live in India. What kind of heat do you have?
Hey, hooty-hoo, Mark.
Hootie who, Mike?
we are about 2 to 3 degrees hotter than Palm Springs.
Whoa, no, you're not. You'd blow up.
What's that?
You'd blow up.
Yeah, you feel like an ant on the ground and some mean little kids following you around with a magnifying glass.
Mm-hmm.
Or a roasted turkey. So I'm in the pool business. So we start our pools like at 0-100. I'm going to try and be done by like 10 o'clock this morning. And, get out of the heat. But it's just nuts.
Now, Ryan, you live in North Hollywood. What kind of heat do you have coming?
Yes, Brian, it's not too bad, but I used to live out in the desert by Barstow Way. I worked for the railroads. And I tell you, I worked out in Amboy, 124, 125 degrees, working out there on a hot motor. It'll just kill you. I mean, you have to be insane to do it.
Well, now, I lived in Santa Clarita. And I, whenever I would drive through the valley, and if it was 119 in the valley, I knew that it was going to be 126 at my house.
Ugh.
And that kind of heat, you just can't go outside. You just have to hope that, unlike Mikey, your air conditioner doesn't break down and you stay inside the house.
Yeah, you can't live. And it's times like this where I realize I pay way too much for where I live. I commute way too far away. But while y'all are in a heat wave, mm-hmm. I go back to the beach.
Yeah, see, that's tolerable. But like Santa Clarita is right on the edge of the desert. So on a day that it was 126, at night, if you go outside, you need a light jacket.
Oh, wow.
Desert. It's desert weather.
Oh, that's right. It gets real hot in the day, real cold at night.
Now, I heard from my next door neighbor, Rusty Wallace, over the weekend. I will share with you what he shared with me momentarily.
Now, the name soon to be heard around the universe is Mr. Mike TV. You love to watch TV, Mike?
You bet.
Yeah, I do. And over the weekend on Friday night, Ricky Gervais was on The Tonight Show starring Jimmy Fallon. And Jimmy asked him, how come he never does impressions? You never hear Ricky do impressions. And Ricky claims he's a great impressionist. So he proves it by doing as many impressions, the most impressions ever in 30 seconds.
Wow.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. Here we go.
Let's do 30 seconds.
Okay.
Most impressions in 30 seconds.
Okay.
I'll just name names. Ready?
Yeah.
Start the clock, Robert De Niro.
Oh, are you looking at me?
Stop the timer. Stop the timer.
That was good. That was big.
No, stop the timer. I'm going to let you try it again. I'm going to let you start again.
No.
Oh, you're looking at me.
That's what he says. That is what De Niro says.
No, you're talking to me.
Yeah. Oh, you look at, I can't see anyone else here. That is a brilliant De Niro impression.
Let's get the clock going again. Okay. And I'll do it again. Okay. Ready? All right, clock again. Robert De Niro.
Are you looking at me?
All right, Arnold Schwarzenegger.
I'll be back.
Winston Churchill.
Oh, I'll fight them on the beaches, I will.
Kim Kardashian.
Oh, look at these.
All right, Bill Clinton.
Go and get that dress. All right,
Christopher Walken.
I shoved a clock up me.
All right, Jack Nicholson.
I hate Batman.
Clint Eastwood, I'm not Batman.
do you feel lucky, punk? Do you?
Oprah Winfrey.
Oh, everyone's got a car.
Al Pacino.
Hoo-ah!
Stop the clock. That's it. A world record.
There you go. There's your Mike TV.
Sit, boo-boo, sit. Good dog.
So, my next door neighbor is Hall of Fame NASCAR legend Rusty Wallace. And we've had Rusty on many times to talk about NASCAR. And if you'll remember the last time he was here, I had been to Target and I bought an airplane that comes with a handle and a rubber band and you can shoot the airplane.
Right.
And I got to play with it like three times before I did one straight up and the airplane sails out of my yard and into Rusty's. And I told him, I want my airplane back. I got a text yesterday with the words, guess what I found? And he took a picture of my airplane sitting in his backyard.
Oh, sweet. Is he going to hold it ransom or do you actually get it back?
I'll beat that goober. I'll get my airplane. Trust me. I will bang on their door at all kinds of weird times. All right. So, chick on the street, Katie, who's out and about today for a rousing round of the fastest food, yes, will explain. She and her BFF, Danny, went to see, what's the name of the movie, Katie?
Finding Dory.
Okay.
So, it's the sequel to Finding Nemo, and oh, was it great. And it was 13 years after Nemo,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it was everything that I could have wanted it to be and more. And I got my tickets about a week in advance. It wasn't exactly needed because there were only about, the theater was half full and it was a small theater, but it was also at 11 o'clock at night. But the movie is so much more than Finding Dory. I heard
that what makes this is the story, they really do a great job with the story.
I paid the extra money for the 3D.
Oh,
so worth it. It was the images, all of it. Honestly, if you're gonna see it in 3D. It was unbelievable. It was so good. One of the best I've seen in a long time.
Now, Danny, are you on a mic?
Nope, I don't know where he is.
Danny,
best friend missing in action.
So is Nemo in this one?
Yes.
Okay.
The whole gang is in it, and there's so many new great characters. I mean, it couldn't have been better.
This other movie's like 13 years old, and all I remember are Nemo, Dory, and like the surfer dude turtle.
You'll see all of them in this. Wait. And it's just, it's so, so good. It was amazing. Dad, you got to go.
Okay. So, Danny, what did you think of the movie at 11 o'clock at night?
I liked it. Look, I'm a fan of Finding Nemo, the first one.
A fan? We watched it before we went. We had to watch the first movie before we went, per his request.
Wow. Any Disney movie, any Disney flick that doesn't have singing, dancing, and happiness like all the time is like great.
That's a good movie for Danny.
Yeah. And just say it, the imagery is great, and like 3D was just fantastic.
So you loved it then?
I loved it. Yeah, I loved it. Yeah, it was
funny.
Better than the Angry Birds crap we saw a couple weeks ago.
That was good, but not this great.
Wait, funny? There's
no music. There's no, I gotta find Dory.
No.
It's not like, you know, singing, breaking into singing and dance. Like, now it's all magical and everything's good and gumdrops and lollipops. You know, there's like, you know, a little scariness there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I heard what they did was they took characters that were there to show you faults that we have.
Yep.
And that was what I was talking about. They really spent time on the script, on the story. And so I heard it's pretty great.
Yeah. But the animation plus the short at the beginning of the movie is
so
amazing.
I love those.
That's amazing. Yeah. We'll
see. All right. So one quick thing. Saturday, Skeeter and I took off to South Carolina to buy our fireworks. And Skeeter Facebook lived me. And if you haven't seen it, it's up on Facebook Live. If you haven't seen it, what it basically is we are in a Target of fireworks, and it's me picking up fireworks to put into the cart, and Linda saying, we're not buying that. And of course, I put it in there anyway, and we, of course, bought it.
I have a question.
Yes.
I watched the video. Where are the firework noises coming from? Did you add that? Are there firework noises playing at the store?
No, there are televisions that are on.
Okay.
Where if you're looking at a particular firework and you want to see what it does, you push a button and it shows you video of the firework that you're talking
That's
about.
That's genius.
Oh, very cool.
So if you want to see the thing, it was nuts. We've had like 35,000 views or something. There's something about fireworks and a married couple bitching each other that people seem to care about. The world is trending whether you like it or not. Here is Gina Grant.
Well, Apple has let the Republican National Committee know it can expect no assistance from them at their national convention, unlike previous years. Today is going to be more than just record heat. With a sunrise at 5:42 this morning and a sunset at 8:08 tonight, it is the summer solstice. It is the longest day of the year. And here's what's trending in sports. In golf just kidding. The Cavaliers beat the Warriors in Game 7 last night, closing out the NBA Finals 93-89. By the way, a little trivia about that. Cavaliers beat the Warriors. You heard that. But this is the first team to overcome a 3-1 finals deficit in the NBA Finals history. Wow. I'm Gina Grad, and that's what's trending online. Coming up, how many sex partners do you have to have before marriage before you end up getting divorced? Mark will tell you. But first, The Clash. This is Mark in the Morning.
A message in a bottle.
Fan mail from some flounder?
No, this is what I really call a message.
So this was sent to Gina, and then she sent it to me. Gina, first off, I love you on the show. I hope you can pass a message on to Mark for me. I am an over-the-road truck driver hauling windmill blades across America, and I listen via the Sound app. As rude and crude as Mark is, I very much respect him and his genuine heart. He is real and not afraid to show his heartfelt feelings toward those he loves. I try to model myself after him in this way. I communicate very well with my wife and daughter as well. I am currently heeding his advice on how to discuss sexuality with my 13-year-old daughter. You better hurry. It's not easy, but it seems to be working just as he says. Happy Father's Day to your dad, Steve, and to that piece of work you endure on a daily basis.
Look at you, changing lives, this time for the better.
And then I get this. This is from Gina. It's titled, the subject, What I've Learned from You Dads. The best way to get a bean out of your kid's nose is to blow in his mouth.
Mandy
Chandler. Your kid is allowed to get out of bed if he's throwing up, no matter how badly he wants that Xbox.
JBC.
If you give your son the run of the entire third floor of your home, enter at your own peril.
Peter Burton.
If your kid is acting up, the fastest way to put them back in their place is to take away food and light.
It's what you did.
And finally, there's no better example way to show your kid that life is fun and full of surprises than to dress up like a hot dog and have condiments thrown at you. Josh the Fleeganator.
Yeah.
And then she says, Happy Father's Day to some of my favorite fathers. Gina.
Yeah.
Ask me what I'm doing today.
What are you doing today?
I am, as you know, I got 2 root canals about a month ago.
Oh, that's right.
Today is part 2 of my last root canal.
How can there be more?
I don't know exactly. The first time he took, by the way, this tooth has a crown on it. And he had warned me, I'm going to try to drill through it. A lot of times they'll crack. And so that's really mostly what I'm worried about. So that the last time it's a root canal. You have an infected tooth, so you have to clean out all the roots of the tooth.
Oh, God. So but you already did this.
Yeah. Today, he said the hard part's over. We just have to do one other thing. So I've got to go today at 1:30 and get part 2 of my root canal.
Oh, God. Good. Godspeed. Our D.I.B.
many sex partners you've had before you get married can apparently impact your chances of getting a divorce. University of Utah researchers looked at the data and found that women who have had two sexual partners before getting married are more likely to get a divorce than a woman who has had 3 to 9. Researchers Nicholas Wolfinger says, quote, in short, if you're going to have comparisons to your future spouse, it's best to have more than one. And as a side note, virgin marriages had just a 6% divorce rate. So what it's saying is, if you've only had a couple, that's not good. But if you've sowed your wild oats mm-hmm. with 10, mm. then you kind of know what's up. But if you've never had sex, then your chances are pretty strong of not getting a divorce.
Because you have nothing to compare it to.
Correct.
So you said 3 to 9 and you're in the clear?
Yeah.
I will be married until the end of time.
So, a couple of things. We're going to have record heat today, 123 in Palm Springs today. So, if you want to share, what is your job where you work outside in this heat? Every time it gets blazing hot, I just feel bad for construction guys because it's all day, every day.
And it's you're not just outside. You're there with a hot mop. You're pouring tar. You're doing things that make it 50 degrees hotter than it already is.
So text us what your outside job is to 21003. Mikey, his air conditioning went out.
Yep.
And he's now waiting on the air conditioner guy to call him.
Yep.
I hope we're on the air when that happens.
they said they open at 7, so we should be.
And so I don't screw it up because I have a block on it. 5 seconds for $30. Call right now, 888-696-1003. Way up north to Alaska. Way up north. Motorists in Alaska recently had to put up with a traffic jam that was caused by a bear with a coffee can stuck on his head. The black bear tried to cross a highway but couldn't see where he was going. Drivers called the Department of Fish and Game, who came to the scene, tranquilized the bear, and then cut the can off his head.
Poor bear. Poor hilarious hijinks-filled bear.
Well, apparently he was trying to get whatever was in the can out of it, and right. he just got his head stuck.
Yeah, a jaunty little hat for Sunday. Speaking of which, there's a video playing right now on the news that there's a bear taking a little dip in somebody's swimming pool, and we've seen that before, but this bear is super obsessed with the floaty donut, so I'm going to put that up on Mark in the Morning Facebook right now.
Now, one of the most bizarre deaths took place here in L.A. over the weekend. The actor Anton Yelchin, apparently the way I'm hearing it, he drove his car up his driveway. And as I'm hearing it, it was a steep driveway. He gets out of his car and he walks down the driveway, maybe to check the mail. I don't know. His car, which was left in neutral, rolls down the driveway and pins him up against the fence. Friends, he was supposed to be at a rehearsal for something, and friends, he didn't show up.
Yeah.
So they went and they found him.
Yeah, he was supposed to be at band practice, and this is just a complete freak accident, it seems like. I mean, they found him, like you said, pinned between the car and the wall, and there's no rhyme or reason for it.
That's just whack and unfortunate.
Yeah, he was Chekhov, by the way, in Star Trek. He was in the movie Charlie Bartlett, only 27 years old. Really sad. By the way, Mikey says we have some techs rolling in on people's jobs that they have outside.
It has. I've never seen so many people text at once. Oh, you want me to read a few?
Yeah, please.
Okay, we got cutting down trees, 20 trees to cut down, electrical and mechanic for high voltage power lines.
Oh God!
That's contractor scary. In Palm Springs, AC installer.
Go to Mikey's house.
Yeah, one person said, "Mikey, I'm coming to your house." Navy Seabreeze building. I don't know what that means. Tile installer for pool in Palm Springs today.
Mm. Oh God, dude! Mm-hmm.
Firefighter.
Thank you.
Okay, now
doing asphalt in a refinery. Yeah.
Now, firefighter, imagine in this heat, and then you've got on all that garb. I've done it. I went, we were doing an Adventures of Mark and Brian, and we were in that gear, and we were in a fire tower, which is to train you.
Right.
By the time I had gotten to the 10th floor, I had breathed up all of my can.
What?
Yeah, I was just heaving air.
So what did you do?
I turned around and went down. I didn't have any more air to go.
Oh my God.
Because I was just sucking it like nuts, and the sweat, it had filled my shoes.
Oh, Mark.
Yeah, it was crazy.
I have a lady, actually, because you just don't hear that as often, who's training to be a firefighter. Very strong, very smart, very capable. And I would trust her to save anyone doing anything out there in the fires.
So I'll share this in the next hour. But I have gotten so many letters, emails, comments, posts on Facebook about my tribute to my father.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to share one of those that kind of sums it up. And another very funny story, if there is such a thing, about my father's funeral that I will share with you as well. Donald Trump isn't backing away from his controversial proposal to ban Muslims from entering the country. In fact, he's going further. In the wake of the Orlando mass killing, he says we need to consider profiling.
And it's not the worst thing to do. I hate the concept of profiling, but we have to use common sense. We're not using common sense.
Yeah.
Enough said. All right, a couple of pieces of music to share with you. There is a new video out. It's a collaboration between Hart and James Hetfield of Metallica.
Ooh.
It is called Beautiful Broken. Here's a little bit of it. She's beautiful and broken, just like you and me, just like you and me. Oh. Such a naughty girl, throws her body down, screaming for her daddy, but he's not around. A solution, just a shout away, she don't know. I'm not a metal guy, and I'm not even sure if that's metal, but I liked it.
Yeah, it was like a pop version of metal. I think the song is cool. The lyrics sound like, hey guys, we're all in the freshman year in high school. You want to start a band? I got something about naughty girls.
And if you're a Peter Gabriel fan, he has a surprise. He said, quote, I wrote a song a few years back called I'm Amazing, which was basically inspired by Muhammad Ali's life and his struggles. Here it is. Some kind of blood, like the picture's going to shatter. Can you recognize the features of a bone upsetter? All the people, all the faces, in my head they're running around. I'm trying to make connections, but the circuits are down. I don't know if I can say I'm a fan of Peter Gabriel's. A couple of things I like. I don't know what to make of that one.
I'm a huge fan of Peter Gabriel, and that was crap.
No.
$5 seconds for $30.
Yes. 5 seconds, $30. You can feel the drama. You can just feel millions and millions of people listening. Yeah. To this very phone call.
Yeah.
Let's go to Jerry. He's calling from Bermuda Dunes. Good morning, Jerry.
Good morning.
Have we spoken to you before?
Many years ago on the Mark and Brian show. This is my second time calling.
Wow.
Where's Bermuda Dunes?
Well, it's right out here in the Palm Springs area, next to Indio, between Indio and Palm Desert.
A little warm today.
Yeah, 123 for you today, Jerry. What do you do for a living?
Well, business has been slow, but I'm big city blind installer.
Oh, well, this would be a good time of year for that.
So I'm indoors and outdoors. You're running back and forth to the car, to the house, whatever. But you get used to it. It takes people about 3 years to get used to the desert out here.
Well, I will tell you that with that kind of heat, you really, no kidding, you're going to need to stay hydrated. So people in Palm Springs and Indio, drink your water. Mikey, has the air conditioner company called yet?
No, not yet.
I want to hear it when they do. Okay. I got a few things to run by them. Okay. All right, Jerry, you married with kids?
I have two beautiful daughters.
How old?
34 and 35.
Hmm. Oh, okay, so you're an old dude.
Yeah, I'm about your age.
Nice one.
Swing, that a swing. All right, Jerry, here's a question that you should be able to answer. It's not easy, but it's not hard. What is the appropriate title of the final track of the Beatles' White Album?
5, 4, 3, 2, 1. I choked, man.
Well, I honestly, can any of you? I couldn't have answered it. Can any of you?
Is it Golden Slumber?
It is not.
The end.
And that's maybe it's the end.
Yeah.
The last track of the White Album is Good Night.
Oh, all right.
Yeah, I wouldn't have been able to answer it. Jerry, what is it you find attractive about Mark in the morning?
I can't think of anything I don't like about it, actually. It's a great show. You're a very personable guy, and that's why people like you.
Oh.
Well, Jerry, you're kind. Thank you for listening. Be careful in the heat, and we'll see you tomorrow.
All right, man. Have a great day.
You too.
Look, Bullwinkle, a message in a bottle.
Fan mail from some flounder?
No, this is what I really call a message.
Mark, it is roughly 7:30 in the morning on Father's Day, and I know this is going to be a special day. My wife and I have been together for 35 years this November, and we have always enjoyed freaky circus sex, especially when we were younger. However, age and kids have slowed that down a bit. But this morning was something special. My wife and I sleep in separate beds. She likes to sleep with the TV on, and I can't stand that. This morning, she woke me up at 5 a.m., and we had sex like one of us would be dead tomorrow. My junk feels like pounded steak.
Wow.
Barbecuing later today, and I wanted to let you know I owe all of this to you. Your speech about how dads only want one thing on Father's Day really stuck in my wife's mind, and I thank you. Thanks for all you do, my brother Tony from La Puente.
Wow. That was the best email we've ever gotten. I'll never look at steak the same way again.
So, I always tell my kids, I don't want a gift. Make me something or just send me a card.
Right.
And I mean that. So, yesterday, I opened my car. I'll give you an example. Amy called me in the middle of my Five Guys. She called Linda, and then Linda hands me the phone. And my opening line to her was, there is no need for this call to happen. I don't need for them to call me up and go, Happy Father's Day.
Oh, wow.
Anyway.
You're a real sweetheart.
I got my card from Matthew, and I'm reading from the actual card. He writes inside, Father, I spent a good 15 minutes in CVS trying to find the cheapest card. I didn't even read it, but when I finally did, the words seemed pretty correct. Happy Father's Day, Matthew. And then right under it, Matthew is going to be getting married this November to Eleni, his fiancée Eleni. Eleni writes, Mark, F you effing ass face. I hate you more than you'll ever know, and I hate everything you've ever stood for. F you right where you breathe, you bag of... F. Eleni. And then I happen to notice that Eleni's handwriting looks exactly like Matthew's. And when this card was sent, Eleni was in New Jersey.
Okay, you know what? That makes me feel a little bit better because I was like, I know you guys like to joke with the best of them, but she's trying to ingratiate herself into the family. Maybe you back off on the first Father's Day card.
Well, if you want to see it, Linda is going to post the card so you can compare the handwriting.
Is it edited?
Of course it's not.
Does it have to be
send
on
it
Facebook?
To me? Send it to me. I'll blur it. Proper, I'll do the whole thing.
Yeah. Okay. All right. There is a huge auction happening, so listen to see if any of this stuff is something you'd like. Whitney Houston. How do they get this stuff? Whitney Houston's wedding dress.
Oh, wow.
Passport. credit card, driver's license, clothing, souvenirs, platinum records, and several shelves of awards will be auctioned off by Heritage Auctions Friday and Saturday in L.A. A pair of game-worn Michael Jordan sneakers that he gave the singer already has a bid of $16,000. A yellow guitar that was made for and belonged to Prince already has an advance bid of $30,000. A shard of a Stratocaster that Pete Townsend demolished in 1968 has an opening bid of $25,000. No takers yet.
Are you kidding? They think they're going to get 25 grand for a piece of wood?
Dude, we had Pete Townsend on Mark in the Morning, and he performed in the parking lot. There were several hundred people that came. One guy waited till everybody else had left. He goes up to Pete, and he said, "I would like you to please shatter my guitar." And it was an acoustic, very, very nice guitar. And Pete looks at it and he goes, "Are you serious about this?" He said, "If you would," and then autograph it.
That's pretty
so
cool.
So in front of the crowd, he took it with all the venom and angst I've ever seen in a human. And he shattered that thing.
That's cool.
And then autographed it and gave it. The guy couldn't have been happier. I got to tell you, I'm not a big Who fan, but I saw Pete Townsend get pissed off as a guitar and throw it to the ground. I got goosebumps.
You were turned
so
on.
Cool.
Yeah.
Let's see. Where did we leave off? Okay. The same goes for Elvis's Graceland piano, the piano that sat in Graceland. It will cost you a minimum of $300,000.
So how are you going to do that? You're just going to take it right in through the garage, or how are you going to do that, Mark?
I would love that. Ominous. Earlier this month, an astrophysicist stepped forward and announced that extraterrestrials' life in the universe is a mathematical certainty. Something is out there, probably lots of things. Unfortunately, though, scientists are saying that it's going to take some time before we see them.
Come on!
It seems that it'll take another 1,500 years for the radio signals our planet is sending out to reach enough spots to be found. These signals have been traveling from Earth for 80 years at the speed of light. But since our Milky Way galaxy alone contains 200 billion stars, that's quite a long way to go.
Mark, I debate this with myself all the time, and I would love to get your opinion. Do you hope in your lifetime we make alien contact, or do you hope in your lifetime we never make any alien contact?
I absolutely want that.
But what if they enslave us?
Well, that would be bad. Yeah. I wouldn't want that. But the fact that it just said 200 billion stars.
Yeah.
We need to be smoking pot for this, but
that's just in our neighborhood, by the way, 200 billion stars.
So our sun is a star.
Right.
And so for us to think that our planet is the only one that is the perfect distance from a sun for there to be an atmosphere that develops and brings life
right.
with water. For us to think that we're the only one is insane talk.
You're right. We should be completely high right now, because my question is, how do we know that whatever's out there needs water and air? What if it needs whatever they have?
No, look, there's other stuff out there. There's no question about it. But in what form?
Yeah,
because we know we really should be high for this, but we know that like back in the day, caveman, they were covered in hair.
Yeah,
but there's no real reason for that. So over the years, that hair has, in fact, maybe at one day will be completely hairless.
Yeah, like baby seals.
Yeah. So whatever's out there that's alive as another life form, what is it?
Yeah.
What is that life form?
We need Dr. Fracknoy.
We do, and he is great for these conversations.
I can't wait.
And whenever I would bring crap like this up, he would always go, "That is an excellent question."
I love him.
Yeah, he is an astrologist that explains things to a point where even dumbasses like me can understand it.
Speaking of dumbasses, he is not an astrologist. He's an astronomer.
Yes, thank you.
He doesn't say, "Oh, you're a Pisces. Let me tell you what's going to happen to you this week."
I usually get that wrong. Okay, so with the Led Zeppelin trial going on, we're wondering, does Spirit have a case? We're joined now by Tim English. Sorry, I spit on the screen.
I'm so sorry, Mr. English.
So welcome in, Mr. English.
Hey, thanks for having me on, guys.
Now, Tim is a recognized authority on the topic of musical plagiarism in pop music. Now, we have been following this, obviously, very carefully. Do you think that Spirit has a case here?
I think they do, and because if you get these in front of a jury, which many times we see these cases are settled before they ever get to a jury. That was the case with Sam Smith and Tom Petty a year or two ago. You don't really know what a jury's going to decide here. They're non-musicians, and each side will have sort of battling musicologists, and that'll each say that the songs do or do not sound alike. And it's very hard to tell how a jury's going to decide. Personally, I do think these songs sound somewhat alike. I think the plaintiffs did a pretty good job last week of showing that Jimmy Page or Zeppelin could have heard this song, Taurus. They played a recording of a song that Zeppelin had covered by Spirit from the exact same album. So I think they did a pretty good job of showing that they were at least familiar somewhat with the Spirit's music. But we're not talking about the whole song here of Stairway to Heaven. I'd say at most we're talking about maybe a quarter or a third of it that would be in question, because the rest of the song sounds nothing like the Spirit song. So it'll be interesting to see. The trial's going to wrap up soon. It starts again tomorrow, and I think it's only got about a day or two left, so we're going to find out.
Tim, quick question. Why aren't they allowed to play the actual song Taurus in the courtroom? Why does it have to be a transposed piano version?
Because they found that songs that came out before 1978, when they revised the copyright law, they don't recognize that it was copyrighted with the sound recording. They go back to the original sheet music that was filed at the Copyright Office. This was also the case in the Robin Thicke, Pharrell Bird Lines case, where Marvin Gaye's family sued them over ripping off their father's 1977 song, Got to Give It Up. And you sort of would have thought that would help the defendants in that case, but it really didn't. I thought those songs sounded like sort of in the feel that they had to them, but they went back to the sheet music, and the jury still found that they were substantially similar. So I wouldn't assume that the fact that they're doing that is going to help Zeppelin in this case, but we'll see.
We're speaking with Tim English. He is an authority on musical plagiarism. He has a new book called Sounds Like Teen Spirit. Are we not setting a precedent here, Tim, where anybody can sue anybody simply because it sounds a little bit like it?
Well, that's, I guess, for the jury to decide. I mean, Zeppelin in their pretrial motion said if Randy California, who was the author of Taurus, if he was so offended by this, he lived for 26 years. He died in 1997, but he was around for 26 years after Stairway to Heaven came out, and he never brought a legal action. If he was so offended, why wasn't it ever brought? Just a money grab by his estate.
That's exactly what I said, but then I read in an article that they said he didn't have the money to take on a giant like Led Zeppelin.
That's right. That was the reason that they gave, which makes sense, because you do need money. You do need a high-powered lawyer to take on Zeppelin and their publishing, and so I can certainly see that. I also saw a story that Randy California was going from around to restaurants offering to play the sitar in exchange for a dinner. So he was not, I don't know if he was destitute, but he certainly could have used the money, I guess you could put it that way. But there was a Supreme Court decision about 2 years ago. It was over screenplay for the movie Raging Bull, and long story short, it said if it's continuing infringement, you can sue. And they tied the plaintiffs here tied this into the re-release of the Zeppelin's fourth album on Rhino Records in 2014, saying this is continuing infringement, and so that's what's allowing the suit to go forward.
Tim's new book is called Sounds Like Teen Spirit. For more information, go to soundsliketeenspirit.com. Tim, thank you so much for the time.
Hey, it's my pleasure. Thank you.
The world is trending, and Gina watches it so you don't have to.
Well, Donald Trump says he's going to win the general election, quote, one way or the other, whether he has the support of other Republicans or not. Mark, I have breaking Swaggy P news for you. This is huge. In a lengthy message on Instagram, Iggy Azalea revealed that she and Nick Young, a.k.a. Swaggy P, are no longer together because she wasn't able to rebuild her trust in him after he allegedly cheated on her. Danny's crying. Remember, who was it? Who was the kid, the rookie on the team that was filming Swaggy basically incriminating himself about going out with all the ladies? Boy. Iggy is over it. And here's what's trending in sports. The Cavs beat the Dubs last night in the final game of the NBA playoffs. Here's a clip of LeBron talking about the big win.
I set out a goal 2 years when I came back to bring a championship to the city. I gave everything that I had. I poured my heart, my blood, my sweat, my tears to this game, and against all odds, I don't know why we want to take the hardest road. I don't know why the man above gives me the hardest role, but it's nothing the man above don't put you in situations that you can't handle. Instead of saying, why me, they're saying this is what he want me to do. And Cleveland, this is for you.
And people who hate him say he was faking those tears.
Hey, man, even if you hate him, you have to admit that was a long road for them, and he was probably relieved it was over. I'm Gina Grad, and that's what's trending online. Coming up, Sammy Hagar remembers preparing his voice for Van Halen's Dreams. But first, fame. This is Mark in the Morning.
And now, three reasons today doesn't suck.
One.
Happy birthday. Ex-Van Halen bassist Michael Anthony, who is now Sammy Hagar's bandmate in Chickenfoot and the Circle, celebrates his 62nd birthday today. Sammy Hagar credits the producer of Van Halen's 5150 album, foreigner guitarist Mick Jones, with squeezing a great vocal out of him and arranging a bunch of different Eddie Van Halen guitar parts into a coherent song.
I think of Mick Jones from Foreigner, who produced that record, who squeezed that out of me. Eddie had a bunch of different parts, and he goes, I like that part, I like that part. That should be the verse. And he just cut it all up and made a song. He goes, now, Sammy, what are you going to do this? I'm going, I don't know. You know, I was singing it an octave lower. And he goes, no, man, go for it. And I just went, wow, that's... And everybody in the studio just hands went up, yes, you know. And I just went home and wrote those lyrics. And I'm real proud of that song.
I love this song, and before I wrap things up, Sammy Hagar will come on the show and sing this song.
Two.
It was on this day back in 2006, after 44 years at CBS News, Dan Rather receives his walking papers from the I Network.
We've shared a lot in the 24 years we've been meeting here each evening, and before I say goodnight this night, I need to say thank you. Thank you to the thousands of wonderful professionals at CBS News, past and present, with whom it's been my honor to work over these years. And a deeply felt thanks to all of you who have let us into your homes night after night. It has been a privilege, and one never taken lightly.
Three.
Happy birthday. The great John Goodman is 64.
Smokey, this is not Nam. This is bowling. There are rules.
Hey, Walter, come on. It's just, hey, man, it's Smokey. So his toe slipped over a little, you know? It's just a game, man.
This is a league game. This determines who enters the next round robin. Am I wrong?
Yeah, but I wasn't.
Am I wrong?
Yeah, but I wasn't over.
Mark that frame and eight, you're entering a world of pain.
I'm not.
A world of pain.
Look, dude, this is your partner.
Has the whole world gone crazy?
I don't know what it is about that movie, but The Big Lebowski is a perfect film, and it's a, when you break it down, the whole movie is about a rug.
Yep.
And that's it.
But how John Goodman, what he adds to that movie makes the whole thing worthwhile.
I don't roll on Shabbos!
You're out of your element, Donnie!
So, Southern California is in the middle of an insane heat wave right now, with temperatures climbing into the triple digits. We have our station's chief meteorologist, Gavin Pendington, reporting live from right outside the building. Thanks for calling in, Gavin.
Well, thanks for having me, Mark. And yes, as per your request, I'm right outside the building, and it is a hot one out here.
How's it looking out there?
Very hot, but I'm sure I'll be fine. And there are a lot of precautions your listeners will want to take to make sure they stay safe in case they find themselves out here in this sweltering heat. Now, make sure you drink lots of water, find shade whenever you can, and avoid the flying monkeys that are currently hovering over me.
Gavin, it sounds like maybe you're hallucinating.
Nonsense. I'm going to power through. You wanted me to be out here, so I'm going to stick it out. Now, just be sure to drink lots of fluids and carry a large stick or perhaps a baseball bat to fight off the terrifying winged monkeys that want nothing more than perch themselves upon my sweaty head and eat my hair.
Again, Gavin, it sounds like you're suffering from heat exhaustion. You should probably get back indoors.
Nonsense, Mark. And although I'm still not quite sure why you insisted that I give my weather report from outside when I could have very easily just Googled the weather from inside your nice, cool studio, I can assure you I'm perfectly calendar light bulb.
See, you're saying random words. Please, Gavin, get out of the heat.
No, you insisted that I come outside, Mike. Now, you even deactivated my key card for some reason, so I'm going to turkey baster shop back until pop and lock Dr. Pappy Nappy Afghan.
Yeah, you see, Gavin, you're not making any sense, and I'm sorry I made you go outside to do the weather. I thought it would seem more authentic. You definitely are suffering from heat exhaustion. I'm really, really worried about you.
Biscuit.
Okay.
Biscuit, heffin' lefty, wood chipper, biscuit, bev, hangin', bev.
Okay, I'm going to go ahead and wrap this up. I apologize, Gavin. I'm gonna call an ambulance for you.
Papa? Papa, is that you? I taste colors, Papa.
Goodbye, Gavin.
Here come the monkeys. You did this to me, Mike.
You should bring him inside.
Now, I wanted to do this here because it was on Thursday at this very same time that I told the story about my father and the fact that we experienced a broken relationship. I have received so many very kind emails, quotes on Facebook, and the outpouring of love from all of you was moving for me. But with so many that I did get, I chose one that I think kind of sums up the sentiments that many of you shared with me. And then I have a very funny story, if there is such a thing, from the funeral. And Katie, my youngest daughter, is sitting here because the story is about her. This is from Dwayne Kramer. Happy Father's Day, Mark and Luther. Well, my radio family did it again. Brought me to tears all week with Mark's tribute to his dad and Gina's to her dad and what the kids did for Mark. All were amazing and filled with love. But Mark, I have to say, when I heard your tribute to your father, and as I was crying, and I'm sure everybody else listening was as well, but you and your father should be proud of Matthew. What Matt did for you as a 12-year-old boy told you that you did not come across the country just for a movie and to go make it right. That is beautiful. And it comes from Luther and your mom and how you were raised and how you and Skeeter raised your kids. You should be very proud of yourself for the way that you are as a parent, a husband, and a son. And a wonderful man to all of us listeners. Thank you for sharing your story. In my opinion, Matt gave you the best gift that day. One that will last forever. Now make us laugh, you bastard. Love all of you, Dwayne, and thank you.
Great sentiment.
So, yeah. And again, I've gotten so many, and thank you all for those. So, a funny moment. When I was sitting with the funeral director, and we were preparing for my father's military funeral, it was as though my father sent this memory to me because I stood up, and the funeral director was wrong. And I said, we're doing a military funeral. My father wants, and I remember the quote. My father said, when I die, I want to be cremated and have my ashes spread along farmland. My father was big about land. And he goes, well, that's okay. We'll have the military funeral. And after everybody's leave, we'll take him and we'll cremate him. So Katie was like 4 at the time. And Linda and I were apparently talking about cremating my father. And Katie goes, what does cremate mean? And I said, well, they take the body and they burn it. And then they give you an urn of their ashes that you can do whatever you want to. And so, okay. So we're sitting at the funeral. We're actually going through it. And it's over. And we are walking to the car. And I'm holding Katie's hand. Again, she's 4. And she said, why didn't they light him on fire? This poor idiot sat there waiting for him to blaze up.
Well, okay. So when I'm sitting there, the casket is over a hole. and it's got these four, you know, things that are holding it up. So I think that those are going to set on fire like candles, and then it's going to be pretty, and there's going to be a giant, and then the whole thing will just fall into the fiery hole.
Perfectly reasonable.
I thought this is what was going to happen. He says they burned the body. The body didn't get burned in front of me. I don't understand.
She, you must have sat there in complete fright.
I don't even know if I was scared. I just expected it to happen, and I was like, well, wait, Papa didn't get burned. I don't understand. We talked about that earlier this week. So
Katie's the only one that left the funeral going, well, this was anticlimactic.
Welcome to the first day of summer. It is the summer solstice, better known as the first day of summer. The summer solstice is the day with the most hours of sunlight of the entire year. And today, we will officially make it summer. It's not summer until we do this, but we're going to take the weed eater that I bought from Andy for $50, the weed whacker, and we are going to chop up fruit and vegetables to make a summer salad. And we're going to do it right here in this room. And now, a small summertime frenzy. I don't talk about it much, but I love Frank Sinatra. And this is one of my favorites. Get it, Frank. Get on in there and get it.
The summer wind came blowing in from across the sea.
Velvety smooth.
It lingered there to touch your hair and walk with me. All summer long, we
listen
sang
to those horns.
And then we strolled that golden sand. Two sweethearts and the summer wind.
Have you heard this before, Gina?
Yeah, it's a great song.
Cool for the summer.
Tell me if it's wrong, if it's right, I don't care. I can keep a secret, kid. You got my mind on your body and your body on my mind. Got a taste for the cherry, I just need to take a bite. Don't tell your mother, kiss one another, die for each other. We're cool for the summer.
Yeah!
This is one of the greatest songs of all time. I mean, this thing, it says summer. It really sums it up perfectly.
Please be Warren Zevon, not Kid Rock. Please be Warren Zevon, not Kid Rock.
That's what I was thinking. It was 1989.
Oh, man.
It was short, my hair was long. Somewhere between
I was wrong.
She was 17 and she was far.
Seriously, though. What the hell? Well, they had a good base to start with.
Johnny Rivers.
Summer rain taps at my window. West wind soft as a sweet dream. My love warm as the sunshine. Sitting here by me. She's here by me.
All right, one more. Oddly enough, people think it was Seals and Croft. It was Seals and Crofts.
No tea, huh?
Huh?
No tea.
No, T. T-N-S. Cross.
Cross. Oh, with the... I get you.
Plural. Why was that hard to understand?
Because I'm barely listening to you.
Let me just get the hook, Mikey. Yeah, let me just get the hook.
Spanning the globe to bring you the constant variety of sport, the thrill of victory, and the agony of defeat.
Todd Sports is brought to you by our friends and buddies at Frontier Toyota in beautiful Valencia. So, Todd, Cleveland has them a championship.
Finally, Mark, the first time in 52 years, first time since the Cleveland Browns won the NFL championship in 1964. Of course, that's even pre-Super Bowl days. But, you know, there weren't very many good games in this championship series. But the final game was just unbelievable, back and forth, and Cleveland won it 93-89. And they were down 3-1, were the Cavaliers' first time in NBA championship final series history that a team has come from down 3-1 to win it. LeBron James, 27 points, 11 rebounds, 11 assists. That's a triple-double. A tremendous block shot on a layup attempt in the final minute. And then the key bucket to put the Cavaliers ahead and to win the game, a three-pointer in the final minute by Kyrie Irving.
Each team has a foul to give as we come up on a minute remaining. And they're putting Curry in the pick and roll, trying to get him on Irving. Irving and Curry, one-on-one. Irving puts it up. It's good! Kyrie Irving from downtown! And the Cavaliers by three!
Oh, that was it. Cavaliers by three. The go-ahead bucket. They win it by four. And so now Cleveland finally has an NBA championship. The city of Cleveland, for the first time in 52 years, has a professional franchise with a championship. Great, great final game. U.S. Open tomorrow. And you know what? A great Father's Day for sports fans. I mean, you watch the U.S. Open, okay? It, golf, not tennis, Mark. But anyway,
Sorry.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, but you know, hey, there you go.
It's his favorite sound.
There you go. Yeah. But here's the deal: we went from golf literally right into the NBA game. It was seamless. It was incredible. But Dustin Johnson, finally, he has been close so many times in golf major championships, but hasn't won. He did this time. Dustin Johnson, his first major, 4-under, 3-shot win, despite a penalty stroke when the ball kind of accidentally moved on the fifth green, but the USGA called him on and they gave him a penalty stroke. Didn't matter. He won. Congratulations.
But Todd, this, because a lot of times in these golf tournaments, we have guys that are 16 under, 17 under. Was this a really, really tough golf course?
Yes, it was. In fact, though, it probably, had they not had soft conditions in the first and second rounds because of the rain, there would have been nobody under par. There would have been nobody under par. That's how tough that golf course was, Oakmont there in Pittsburgh. So anyway, congratulations to Dustin and Paulina, his lovely wife, Wayne Gretzky's daughter, who was there with her son too.
Yeah, she looked good.
For the trophy presentation. Oh boy, she did. Anyway, Major League Baseball, Dodgers 2-1 winners over Milwaukee. Yeah, bases loaded, walk in the bottom of the ninth to Yasmani Grandal, pinch hitter. Can you imagine? Milwaukee walking in the winning run in the bottom of the ninth inning, and they walk Grandal, who is batting 184. Oof. I mean, just throw strikes. Your chances are he's not going to hit the ball. and the Angels, 2-0 winners over the A's. Jared Weaver, a complete game, 3-hit shutout. He only had one strikeout. He doesn't have strikeout stuff anymore. He's nibbling at the corners, but he did it effectively, and a nice shutout for him there as well. And, Mark, this is just from the world of auto racing. NASCAR driver Mike Wallace, who is a driver, and his brother Kenny is a commentator, and, of course, his neighbor, Rusty, I mean, his brother is your neighbor, Rusty Wallace. He was at the Rascal Flatts concert with his daughter in Charlotte, North Carolina, and three drunk men beat him until he was unconscious. And then when his daughter tried to step in, they hit her as well, too. And Gina, you mentioned, you said you saw the pictures on online. I did, too.
They're horrible.
It was an unbelievable beating. But anyway, these three fellas were booked and then released. I think $1,000 bail on it and were released. But
unforgivable.
Tragic. Unbelievable.
I was texting with Rusty, because Linda saw it, so I was texting with Rusty, and he said he confirmed that it is his brother and that he'd been trying to call him all day, but he guessed he was, you know. But I haven't talked to Rusty today about it.
It's. I mean, if you see the pictures, and you know, you can obviously go online and see them, but they are frightening pictures. It's somewhat reminiscent of the fellow who was beat up in the Dodger Stadium parking lot
Brian Stowe.
A few years ago. Brian Stowe. That's it, Gene. That's the name. And so this will be one of those things that'll probably take a while to unwind. They'll check in with witnesses, investigate, so on and so forth. But you know, you go to a Rascal Flatts concert. I've been to a Rascal Flatts concert. There is nothing at a Rascal Flatts concert that would get me so upset afterward. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's easy to listen to music anyway. That does it for sports. Brought to you by Frontier Toyota. Beautiful Valencia. Go see Joe Queso, Bob Corson. Don't forget, Frontier Toyota, it's a great place for a new car and a certified pre-owned car as well.
So coming up, a chick on the street is out and about. It's called Fastest Food. She is going to go to 5 fast food locations throughout the week. And basically, she's going to order their breakfast sandwich. And she's going to time them. How long from the moment she orders it till she gets it. And then we'll keep up and compare. And she'll be bringing food back so everybody gets to eat.
When this hustling, bustling, gritty city sometimes gets you down. Hey, what a treat, meet the chick on the street. You never know what she might say.
I ain't gonna cuss, bitch.
It's Katie, and it's gonna be a great day.
All right, so all this week, we're doing a rousing round of Fastest Food. She's going to visit a fast food place each day at this time and order their version of the breakfast sandwich. But the clock will be on. How long does it take each one to make the sandwich and put it in her hand? So, Katie, where are you today?
Right now, I am at Jack in the Box. Now, it was very clear before there was nobody here, but of course now we are in line waiting behind one person. I see a baby arm coming out of the like back seat, so I feel like this could take a moment as the child decides what he wants to eat, but we're here. I would say to honk the horn, but I don't want to make anybody mad this morning.
All right, then stay there. We're going to keep you up. I'm going to go ahead and do some business, and you let us know when you're pulling up, okay?
Okay.
A Turkish jewel thief is going to jail after an X-ray technician found stolen jewelry hidden inside his butt. Hey, this is what I do for a living. Police were investigating a break-in at a home in Turkey when officers noticed a 24-year-old guy walking strangely. He looked very uncomfortable, so they placed him under arrest, brought him for an X-ray. Sure enough, suspicions were right on the money. The technician found 2 gold rings, 4 gold earrings, 2 gold necklaces that he had jammed up his butt. The jewelry was eventually recovered and returned to the owner. Question.
Yeah.
This is your jewelry, and you know that the guy had it in his butt. You want this back?
There isn't enough hydrogen peroxide on the planet. But Mark, I got to tell you, this is great Turkish jewel thief music.
This is actually from a movie called Chamber of Horrors. I spent $2.99 on this album, and I've used this music every day. Every day I use this music.
It's fantastic. I think Danny's yelling.
Oh, he's yelling at the car in front of him? All right.
Okay, all right, we're moving forward, y'all. Hello?
Yeah.
Dad, hello.
Yeah, we're with you.
So we're at the window now. Jeez, they ordered, it was $20, their breakfast, the people before us. Hello, I'm Katie. Your voice is on the air. I'm from Mark in the Morning. I'm looking for some breakfast. Yes. Can I have the...
Get your mic closer to the speaker.
All right, let me hang out the window. Let me unbuckle. Here, hanging out. Can I have the breakfast, Jack? Can I make a combo? Yeah, I'd love to make it a combo. Coffee, please. Large.
Coffee? Okay.
Yeah.
Anything else?
That'll do it. Thank you so much. Okay, so now we're pulling forward. What's the timer on?
We
just ordered, so we're at 5 seconds.
5 seconds on the timer right now. We're pulling forward in this narrow driveway here.
All right, let me know when you get close to the window.
Okay.
The Serendipity Singers for Whitechapel.
Two hungry EMTs dug themselves a big hole when they live-streamed themselves on Periscope as they waited in the drive-thru line at a White Castle. In the video, the driver is heard saying, "Did I just get a call?" And the other guy says, "Yeah, but I'm in the middle of ordering."
Oh, no.
University Hospital in Newark got rid of them over what was called inappropriate conduct. They're waiting for their food when they're supposed to be on an emergency.
And did I hear you right that they were periscoping this?
Yes.
Okay, they gotta go.
Yeah, not the smartest group of people, I'm thinking, at this particular point.
Come on, throw in a buck.
I don't tip.
You don't tip?
No, I don't believe in it.
You don't believe in tipping?
You know what these chicks make? They make Don't give me that. She don't make enough money, she can quit.
A Thai restaurant in Colorado was thrilled when they received a $1,000 tip from a diner, but their excitement was short-lived. The very next day, the man came back and explained that he was drunk
and
didn't realize how much he had left for the tip. The owner understood that it was a mistake and returned the money, but the diner still left a $40 tip for a $100 bill.
Okay. But there's so many of these great Good Samaritan angel stories where the last one I think was Amy Schumer tipped like $1,000. And people do this all the time to be nice. And man, couldn't you just let it go? You were drunk. Live and learn.
What kind of tipper are you?
I'm a very good tipper. I don't know if it's because I care about the person working or I just am very self-conscious that people are going to think I'm a bad tipper. But my thing is, like, say something's, I don't know, say it's $20. I move the little point over, so it's 2.0, and then I double it. So I think that's what, like 20%?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's the easiest way to do it.
I would tip you 20% if you did a good job. I have since just gone nuts. These are waiters and waitresses, and I way, way over tip.
Oh, I like the way you think.
Yeah. It's just, I've never worked in that, in a job where you get tips. I've never done that. I know that a lot of people that did are very good tippers because they know what's going on.
Exactly. Did I ever tell you I was a coat check girl in New York in Times Square?
I think you might have mentioned it.
A terrible Irish pub, and people would come in and they'd give me their coat on these blustery days, and that's the only way I made money, and they wouldn't tip me. And I go,
wow.
They go, "Oh, sorry, I don't have any cash." And I go, "It's okay."
All right, Katie is in line at Jack in the Box waiting to get their breakfast, Jack. Katie, are you close to the window yet?
Nope, still waiting behind that lovely family that's taking their sweet time. They must have ordered everything special. I don't really... What Danny was saying is, it's summer. You take your kids out. I get them a nice breakfast, which I guess is Jack in the Box. And because they got a... okay, here we go. We're moving forward. Car's in motion. Here we go. I'm up here. Oof.
And get the mic in her face. Make sure she knows she's on the radio.
Yeah, I'll take some sugar.
Well, I already said it earlier. Do I have to say it again?
Could be someone
probably if you're going to put the mic in her face.
I see the bag of food, you guys. Who's excited?
Are you at the window?
Yes, cream and sugar, please. Yeah, I am. What?
How many?
I'll take like 10. That's a lot, but I like a lot of cream and sugar.
Okay.
Well, yeah, we're... Oh, I know.
She's bending over to grab it, getting it.
Thank you. Thank you. And the food. I don't have the food, Daniel. Daniel, I gotta get the food. Here, and thank you so much. And stop. I have the food. And how long was it? 4 minutes and 4 seconds. Mm. If I'm in a pickle, that seems like a long time.
All right, so Katie's gonna be doing this every day. What did you order, Katie?
I got a Jumbo Jack breakfast, and I got a hash brown, and I got a coffee with a crap load of cream and sugar, and the hash brown is going into my mouth now.
All right. After we come back, I want to hear you try that sandwich, okay?
All righty. You got it.
Let's figure out what's trending. Gina Grant.
The FBI is releasing transcripts of 911 calls by the Orlando shooter. With record heat today, we wanted to give you a reminder of what symptoms to look for in case of possible heat stroke. Here they are. Ready? High body temperature. A high body temperature of 104 or higher is the main sign of heat stroke. Altered mental state or behavior. Not being able to sweat, even though it's very hot. Nausea and vomiting. Flushed skin. Rapid breathing. Racing heart. And a headache. Please drink plenty of water and find as much shade as possible today. And finally, both Hamilton creator and star Lin-Manuel Miranda, as well as Leslie Odom Jr., who plays Aaron Burr in the show, will be leaving the hit Broadway play July 9th. I'm Gina Grad, and that's what's trending online. Coming up, Glee's Kevin McHale gives us a Game of Thrones recap. But first, Greg Ginn, this is Mark in the Morning.
All right, we're expecting a call from Kevin McHale. He played Artie on Glee, and as soon as we get that, we'll go to him. But a couple of things that I wanted to reshare with you. First of all, yesterday being Father's Day, I got a card from my son Matthew, got a card. And I told all my kids, never buy me a gift. And here's the card that Matt sent, which, by the way, I got one. The girls didn't,
bother.
Matt wrote inside the card, "Father, I spent a good 15 minutes in CVS trying to find the cheapest card I could. I didn't even read it, but when I did, the word seemed pretty correct. Happy Father's Day, Matthew." And then down below that, Matthew's fiance, Eleni, wrote me this: "Mark, F you, you effing ass face. I hate you more than you'll ever know, and I hate everything you've ever stood for. F you right where you breathe, you bag of dongs. F you, Eleni." And then when you look closely, you can tell that Eleni's writing looks exactly like Matthew's and the fact that she was in New Jersey when the card was sent. If you want to see the card and see what it actually says, you can go to... And by the way, if you want to follow the Thompsons, the best place to do that is at Linda's Twitter. She's covering me and the kids. And so she's at Lake Norman Linda, and Linda is with a Y. At Lake Norman Linda. She takes her her thing really, really seriously.
He's going to hang up.
We are now joined by Kevin McHale. Good morning, Kevin.
Good morning. Every time.
Can't believe you're still on the phone.
Well, wait. Let me set up. So Kevin was with a group, a boy band.
Oh, no. And they Mark, I was also on a TV show for 6 years.
Yeah, but I like this more. They were called NLT, which stands for not like them. And Kevin said, "When obviously we were exactly like them." But I think this is a good song. All right, listen, Kevin's about to sing in a minute. This is a good pop song. That, by the way, went nowhere.
Calling Kevin.
Yeah, great.
Hang on, Kevin. I just want to hear you.
Huh?
Hold on. Nothing about this
girl is typical.
All right, let's do this because this is why Kevin's calling. Kevin is a huge fan of the Game of Thrones. Is this correct, Kevin?
Oh, yeah.
Now, other than boobs and butt, what's going on there?
Well, there's an outcry, so there's also penises this season as well.
Yay!
I didn't realize
there's something for everyone.
So now, I heard, in fact, I shared on this show, last night was the season ender, is that right?
No, it's the penultimate episode, so there's one more episode left.
All right, now, was the one last night the one that they spent $20 million on one fight scene alone?
Oh, Mike. I've never seen a movie, never mind a TV show, that looked like this. It was incredible. And just beyond, it's popular and there's nudity and lots of violence, it was so well done that I don't know how... obviously, it cost $20 million, so I guess that's how it got done. But... It was just amazing. It was amazing to see something like that and the amount of work and effort that must have gone into it, and I was just screaming at the television for an hour straight.
Now, Kevin, I've never seen one, but I have to imagine that the writing on this is pretty great.
Oh, it's so good, because the thing is with the show, I think people get... when people try to start are watching it. A lot of people are like, well, I fell asleep. It was boring. Because everything is so meticulous and subtle that every line and every word means something, and you may not realize what it means for years, for seasons. And for me, I really like that. And obviously, there's things that pay off immediately because there's tons of violence, and some people like that and some people don't. But the writing is incredible, and it's obviously based off a book series. But this season is the first time that it has caught up to the book series. So now it's no longer following books that have been published. It's actually kind of off book or revealing things to people who have been a fan of the book series since the 90s that they might not know yet.
Basically, what he's trying to say is even the nerds don't know what's going to happen next because
yes,
there's
so
no
exciting.
More books
no
to
one
read.
Can spoil it.
Now, Kevin, this is Kevin McHale. He played Artie on Glee. Kevin, I don't know what it is that you're doing with your life. You never call me. You don't.
Me neither, Mark. Me neither.
No, listen. I told you when you were on Glee that you needed to get an album made so that you could hit while Glee was hot.
Yep.
You responded by doing nothing.
Yep. I tried.
You didn't. No, I played that Summer Nights. That could have been. Are you acting? Are you auditioning? Are you doing anything?
Yeah, I just did a mini series that will be on ABC at some point. I don't know, but it was with Dustin Lance Black, who wrote Milk, and Gus Van Sant, who directed Milk and a bunch of other amazing movies. And I'm in that miniseries a bit, and it's about AIDS and gay rights through the 70s, 80s, and 90s, and there's amazing people in it.
Well, that's not nothing, Mark.
All right, I got to go, but I want to tell Kevin came here for the 4th of July, and we went to the country club, and we had a bet going. How long would it take somebody to walk up to Kevin? And so I made him wear the same glasses he wears on the show. And nobody approached.
Yep.
They were all afraid to. But then later, like the next weekend, everybody that works at the country club, that was Kevin McHale. Why? And I'm thinking, why didn't you walk up? I could have made money.
I won $20. I have so much confidence in myself that I said no one would come up to me.
Kevin, I love you. I want to talk soon so I can parent you.
Great. Do that. You call me anytime.
Poor Kevin.
And just ignore the call. Kevin, I love you. It's good talking to you, brother. See
ya. Bye, guys.
So now, Gina, Friday afternoon, was out and about, and there's a ton of pictures up on Mark in the Morning Facebook. How was Simi Valley for you?
It was hot, but it was awesome. It was actually really... I love Simi Valley. It's so beautiful up there. We were up there at the Vons for the ABC7 Stuff a Truck food event. So many people came out. So many listeners brought food and brought money and brought everything, and they were awesome. So a little heads up to all the listeners we haven't met yet. The Simi Valley listeners are the ones to beat. So thank you, guys. That was awesome. I had a great time with you, and thank you so much to ABC7 for doing that this year and letting us be a part of it.
Nice. Now, we told you earlier this morning, summer will not start until we say it so.
Summertime.
So we bought a weed whacker from Andy Chandley. We bought it, $50. And now, Danny, what are we weed whacking?
What are we weed whacking, Danny? He's on the floor.
We're going to be making a summer fruit salad.
Mm.
And we got all the traditional stuff that goes into a fruit salad, like bananas, mandarin, strawberries, blueberries, things like that.
Yeah.
What better way to do it than...
Oh, my God.
Weed whacking it to hell.
All right, so all the fruit is inside a metal tub, and Danny is going to weed whack it. This will officially make it summer.
I'm so afraid right now.
Right, so everything has been like sliced, but we need to chop it up. Yeah, just start adding. Program director Dave
Beasing. Dave Beasing is. I knew this was going to happen.
Right,
Danny, I knew this was going to happen.
It's getting on the board, dude.
Oh, it's getting chopped. It's all getting old. Julianne.
Now peel some bananas.
Okay, do I peel it?
Get it.
What's the point? What's the point of peeling it?
I'm sorry, Dave.
Here we go. And oh my God! Okay.
Oh, all right. My face.
It's going everywhere.
Good.
Katie's just trying not to get her hand ripped off. It's like Texas Chainsaw Massacre, but with fruit. Fruit ninja. Oh my God, stop!
There's fruit in Danny's hair.
It's pretty.
It smells really good in here.
Katie, no banana peels.
I peeled it. I just put it in separate. Do you want the whole orange?
Yeah, throw it in there.
Oh,
geez.
Oh, my God. Why do I work here?
I have melon.
Oh!
Here, wait. I got a little friendly fire in my mouth, Mark.
So we got pineapples, we got watermelon, we got strawberries, blueberries, mandarin, banana, thank you. Okay. All right, guys.
Oh!
There we go.
It's a mash.
When the blade stops working, just hit it with an unplugged weed whacker.
Oh, my God.
All right. Dan, you feel good?
I officially declare it summer.
Happy summer, everyone.
Who's going to eat it?
When this hustle is...
No, stop.
Oh, your headphones are getting fruity.
Oh, my God.
It smells really cool in here.
It smells great.
Yes. It's summertime, people. Welcome to summer.
Yes. We did it.
There may or may not be chunks of pineapple inside the control board.
Hey, Jackie. Go to your headphones. I have a gift for Jackie.
I'm here.
Okay. So, Jackie...
Yeah.
I dig it because she loves all kind of music.
Yeah.
So the other day, she puts this up to the microphone and she plays me her favorite latest song. Check this out.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
This is Jimmy Gilmer and the Fireballs.
Oh, there's a crazy little shack beyond the tracks. And
yes.
Calls it the Sugar Shack.
All right, so Jackie, here's my gift to you.
Okay.
When I heard that you like this, there is a song from the 60s called But It's All Right. He's a one-hit wonder. His name is J.J. Jackson. So I wanted to expose you to this to see if this is something you might like.
Give
you ready?
I'm ready. Oh, hell yeah, I know this, Mark.
This is a perfect pop song. One hit wonder. Did I say that?
You don't know how I feel. You'll never know how I feel. Oh, when I needed you to come around.
Yeah, it reminds me of my mom and dad.
To bring me down. Oh, but I know, girl. Believe me when I say that you are sure, sure gonna be good, but it's all right.
So good.
All right, girl.
And you don't often find triangle in rock and roll, but you're about to hear it. I wonder if there's a professional triangle player.
Hold on, I got this. Shall receive, Mark. Yeah, yeah, we're all dancing.
You're about to move up an octave.
Oh, yeah.
You always have to clap for the key change.
Jeannie, you ever heard this?
No, and I love it. I actually just thought of a new bit.
Since Jackie knows every classic song that there is, we should do some Jackie-oki instead of karaoke. Because you know she's going to know it.
All right, Mikey, awesome. Get ready. There are two teams in the NFL that Vegas says they're going to lose every game. Well, they're not favored to win any of the games on their schedule at this point. Who do you think they are?
I have one guess.
Go.
I don't even know anything about football, and the Browns have got to be on that list.
The Cleveland Browns.
Yes. Wow. All right, it's all you, Mikey.
I'm going to go San Francisco 49ers.
Well done, my people.
Yeah. Well done. We did it.
That's it. The Cleveland Browns at this point and the San Francisco 49ers are favored to lose every single game on their schedule.
That's awesome.
Are the 49ers bad?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh yeah.
Well, they've got a brand new head coach in Chip Kelly. There's dissension at the quarterback rank. Will it be Colin Kaepernick? Will it be Blaine Gabbert? Nobody seems to know, but right now, they are the two suckiest teams in the NFL.
Wow.
Find out what's trending. Here's Miss Grant.
Well, Anton Yelchin, known for roles in Star Trek and Charlie Bartlett, died early Sunday morning in a freak accident, according to a spokesman. The LAPD said in a statement, it appears he had exited his car and was behind it when the vehicle rolled down a steep driveway. The LAPD said he was pinned by his own car at his Studio City home. Friends apparently became concerned when Yelchin didn't show up for a band performance. They found him at home pinned between the car and the brick mailbox pillar. Police reportedly told TMZ that the engine was still running when he was found and that the car was in neutral. It's not clear why he got out of his car while the engine was running, but again, completely freaky, freaky thing. And boy, our hearts go out to him and his family because this is just, it's awful. Yeah. Millions of Ticketmaster customers are getting offers to free tickets because of a 13-year-old lawsuit. The company planned to finish sending out free ticket vouchers, quote, on or around June 18th to U.S. customers who made purchases on its site between October 1999 and February 2013 and paid an order processing fee that was never refunded. The offer stems from a lawsuit first filed in 2003 alleging Ticketmaster was charging excessive and deceptive fees. So if you've ever purchased anything on Ticketmaster from 1999 till basically now, you're probably on that list.
I have a ton.
Mikey is going to cash in. He's going to go to concerts like a king the next year. And a New York judge has ordered Leonardo DiCaprio to testify in a case against the movie Wolf of Wall Street after a man named Andrew Green filed a lawsuit claiming that he was defamed in the film. Green, who was a former executive of the stock brokerage firm Stratton Oakmont, which they talk about in the movie, is seeking $25 million in damages, saying the movie portrayed him as a criminal, a drug user, and a degenerate through the character Nikki Rugrat Koskoff. Now, remember, this guy's name is Andrew Green. Nikki Koskoff was the character in the movie. Paramount, however, says the character was purely fictional. Martin Scorsese, who directed the film, and screenwriter Terrence Winter have already given their testimonies. DiCaprio's attorney have argued that since the actor didn't write the screenplay, he didn't direct the movie, he didn't portray that character, he shouldn't be required to give a deposition. But Green's lawyers insist that DiCaprio was involved in the film's development and therefore must testify. I'm Gina Grad, and that's what's trending online. This is Mark in the Morning, and this is Prince.
Wraps it for our Monday. We don't have Uncle Joe, but I know we have a 10 at 10.
Yes, we do. It's the first day of summer, Mark, officially at 3:43 p.m. this afternoon. And the 10-10 supported by Trader Joe's with Trader Jose. With help from Trader Joe's, you can make great meals in minutes without breaking the bank. Find the Trader Joe's in your neighborhood at TraderJoe's.com. Back to you, Mark.
So tomorrow we continue with Chick on the Street. She's going to be going to Burger King. What is the fastest fast food restaurant? We're going to find out before the week's up. We continue following the trial with Led Zeppelin with our musicologist. And Gina tomorrow will trend with a mouthful of salad.
What?
Yep. Mikey.
I need a child. Make her sweet and make her mine. It's Guns N' Roses on Mark in the Morning.
Are you sure she doesn't need to be welcomed to it?
No.
Want more Mark in the Morning? Live and in living color in Southern California. Listen weekday mornings from 6 to 10 on 100.3 FM.